Good evening, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, driving around Minneapolis in a Kia Sportage following Purdue's 81-61 Big Ten reopener at Minnesota. This is your GoldenBlack.com drive home post-game podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, which I'm about 1,000 miles from. So won't be driving by there tonight. I will be driving by the Mall of America, which is very exciting. So Purdue opens up or reopens Big Ten play with an 81-61 win at Minnesota. I always describe these as there being a little bit of a modest difference between a must-win game and a can't-lose game. I know that kind of sounds counterintuitive because they're kind of the same outcome. But sorry, I thought that was a pothole. I was bracing for impact. I think this was more of a can't-lose game because Minnesota is obviously going to be around the bottom of the Big Ten, if not the bottom of the Big Ten. And this would have been a bad loss on the resume. I do think it's a good win in the sense that I think this is a year where a 500 road record puts you right in the mix for a Big Ten title. So every single road win is a good win. That's pretty much always the case in the Big Ten. I know where I am now. But I think that the league is so bunched up, I guess. I still think Purdue's the best team, but I think the league is so bunched up otherwise that I think whoever gets to 500 on the road, or certainly better, I think they're going to have a real advantage in the standings. So this is a good win in that regard, on top of being a game that, you know, you really couldn't have afforded to lose because of the resume implications and the fact that you would have been 1-2 in the Big Ten now after three games. Not an insurmountable hole. Purdue has shown that in the past, but not a project you want to have to take on getting out of that hole. You know, for 25 minutes, this was dicey. Minnesota actually led this game with under 16 minutes to go after getting within just one at halftime. A lot went into that. Purdue didn't shoot the ball terribly well. I think Braden Smith was 1-7 from the field in the first half. Purdue didn't make a lot of threes. They gave up 4 points on inbound plays. Just a bunch of junk happened for Minnesota that kind of kept them around. Give them credit for, you know, being sticky, so to speak. But Purdue had every opportunity to make this more of a one-sided game earlier than it did. But once that 16-minute mark showed up and Purdue was in a one-point hole, not that that's much of a hole, but once that moment came, that's when you started to see Purdue flex its muscles a little bit. And, you know, Braden Smith really took the game over, and Trey Coffman-Wren really took the game over. Fletcher Loyer was great the whole game. And you just saw the best of Purdue when Purdue needed it. And all of a sudden, you go from down one to winning by 20. So it just shows you what Purdue's capable of when it's making shots and when it's, more importantly, taking care of the basketball. Purdue had three turnovers the whole game. That is a direct reflection of veteran guard play. This is exactly what you want from Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer. Purdue's most glaring vulnerability, its fastest path to defeat this season and for years now, has been turnovers and the points that opponents get off turnovers. Minnesota is not Texas A&M. It is not Penn State. It is not a high-pressure defense, nor would it be good at it if it was. So it was more about Purdue just holding up Purdue's end of the bargain than it was about navigating Minnesota. But three turnovers is three turnovers. That's, you know, the singular statistic about this game, I think. But Purdue took care of the basketball and ended up with a 20-point road win. So it just underscores the importance of that particular category for Purdue. Not that it needed a reminder, not that you needed a reminder But also, when Purdue makes shots, like with any basketball team, when your threes are going in, you are pretty good. And, you know, Braden Smith was a killer here in the last few minutes of that game. I think he made 4 of his 5 threes in the last 10 minutes of the game, and just dagger after dagger. I think Minnesota was cooked anyway with like 5 minutes to go, but he just kept making demoralizing shots for Minnesota, or against Minnesota, and just a clutch stretch there from Braden Smith to go along with 10 assists and no turnovers. When you have the ball in your hands a whole game on the road in a Big Ten game, albeit against a bad team, that's really something. 10 assists and no turnovers. He and Trey Kaufman ran really kind of took over the second half in their little middle ball screen thing. And again, Fletcher Loyer, I have to keep mentioning him. This was one of his better games. He's had a lot of big ones in his career. I think people need to look at the great shooters Purdue's had over the years under Matt Painter and just take a good hard look at how Fletcher Loyer stacks up. Look at the numbers. Look at the productivity. But look at just watch him shoot. It is really something just watching him warm up, because it's almost robotic how he just makes everything. And he was making everything before this game, and then he made everything during the game. And 24 points, led all scorers. Just an outstanding performance by Fletcher Loyer and Braden Smith alike. When you take into account how much those guys had the ball in their hands, Purdue was running ball screens for Braden Smith, and Purdue was running those kind of extended handoffs all game for Loyer, and they were making the right reads 10 out of 10 times. And that's why Purdue ended up scoring like 53 points in the second half. Had they made more shots, had they just shot the ball better in the first half, they would have probably had a similar output then too. But they just didn't. And that allowed Minnesota to kind of cling to them a little bit. But Purdue obviously shook them in the second half. Thanks in large part too, I should mention, Caleb First. Moved into the starting lineup along with C.J. Cox in place of Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi, who Purdue was not thrilled with. The tandem, that is, not one or the other. Was not thrilled with after the Toledo game. I was surprised Painter made a change, because it's not like him after wins to make changes. It seemed to me like it was more about prodding Heidi and Colvin to give them a little more than it was about First and Cox. But First certainly earned the opportunity. He's been playing very well in a limited role, and it's not even as limited as it was last year, because Purdue's front court is very different right now. Center is a question for them. And when Trey Kaufman Wren goes to the bench, the game completely changes for Purdue. The offense changes. The rebounding changes. It's just not a great situation for Purdue when Kaufman Wren's not in the game. But First covered up a lot of things in this game. Played really well. Gave Purdue a lot of productivity, 11 points and 6 rebounds. Played hard, played with energy, did a good job defensively on Dawson Garcia, now in his 13th season playing college basketball. And kudos to Caleb First. You know, he's never in his career really been able to take games like this and turn this into a nightly output. Purdue could use that right now, because Purdue's question marks at center are very, very acute. I don't think you need to attach the word very to acute. I think it's implied, but I did anyway. So kudos to Caleb First. If he keeps playing at this level, Purdue's going to be much, much better off for it. They're going to win games because of it. But that's the goal now for him, is to take more minutes and make them as good minutes as they were tonight. You know, once again, you go from 1 point down with 16 minutes to go to winning by 20, and it just shows you what Purdue's capable of. Minnesota is a bad team. I feel bad for Ben Johnson. I think he's a good coach. He's done a good job there, but they just got decimated in the offseason by the modern realities of program building in this day and age, and lost his best players to the oil money of the Texas schools. Purdue probably would have just as soon seen Ferrell Payne tonight from Minnesota, so they didn't have to deal with him with Texas A&M. But that's not how it works. So I feel bad for Ben Johnson. I think he's a good coach. And once again, they're in a tough spot. And they're not a good team. They're very limited. They're very unskilled. And they don't really they're a little out of control at times in this game. Purdue did a good job defensively, running them off the three-point line. I'm not sure they needed to, because it's not a very good shooting team. But nevertheless, Purdue did everything, I think, at both ends of the floor, ultimately, it needed to do for this outcome to end up where everybody figured this outcome should have wound up. So that's what I got from Purdue's 81-61 win over Minnesota in the barn. I hope you all had a happy and safe New Year's holiday and all of that stuff. And I will talk to you guys again on Sunday after Purdue hosts Northwestern. So thank you once again to the East End Grill and Rippling Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sand Valley Resort, and the Whitaker Inn, and this Kia Sportage for being such a gracious host while I drive around the Mall of America area here in Minneapolis in advance of my flight back tomorrow. So thanks, everybody.